In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You cannot serve both God and Mammon. They're fighting words, and the picture on the front of your order of service is a fairly brutal and horrifying portrayal of Mammon from the end of the 19th century, where people loved this kind of thing. It's brutal in so many ways, and it's honest. It's honest about how money and death are linked. There are two little skulls that perhaps you can't see quite clearly on the reproduction, either side of the chair, the throne on which the figure is sitting. He is full of wealth, but surrounded by death. And I'm reminded of the man with the bigger barns, who had so much stuff, he couldn't keep it all. And his solution was to build bigger and bigger barns in order to hoard his wealth. And that very night, his life was taken from him. That may have been in the mind of the artist as well. In this painting, there are also images of pain and suffering. Not only the figures at the feet and at the lap of the figure in the middle, but also the figure himself, the main character. He's portrayed as having gout, which if you've ever had it, I have a friend who suffers with it, is the most excruciating condition. He himself suffers from his wealth. That's how the painter portrays him. But he's also portrayed as misusing his power, literally treading on the figure at his feet who lies on the ground. It's a picture of wealth and misery in all its forms, drawn together. And if you can see the expression on the main character's face with his crown, which almost has kind of horns on the crown, he sits there and he looks not only angry and sour-faced, to my mind, he looks miserable. This is what it looks like in the painter's mind when we choose Mammon. When we choose Mammon as our master, we not only look like the subdued, naked figures at the feet, but we also start to look a bit like the figure on the throne. When we choose money as our master, the artist says, and Jesus says, everyone suffers. We suffer too. We stop being who we're meant to be, both individually and communally. And we become something altogether ungodly. When money is our master, we seek an economy that is based on competition, an economy of scarcity, a zero-sum game in which there must be losers if there are to be winners. And our goal in life is not to be one of the losers. In an economy of scarcity, this is the truth that underpins all things. There will be winners and losers, and we are supposed to try and win. But this is not the economy of the kingdom of God. It is love of mammon that makes the rich richer and the poor poorer. It sets up an economic sin that makes it hard for everybody to not worry about the problems of tomorrow. Whether you have wealth or you don't, love of money, or putting money as the main thing on which we place our trust, stops us being at ease with the moment. Those who have great wealth are required to spend vast amounts of time and emotional energy looking after it, endlessly worrying that it might somehow disappear. And those who have nothing are equally anxious about what that means for them. When money becomes the final arbiter of meaning in society and in our own lives, we are stuck in a position of anxiety and fear of one another and of the future. Having mammon as our master means we are making our ultimate context something that was supposed to be a good and helpful servant in the running of the oikos, the economy of God. That's what money was supposed to be, a good and useful way to help order our interactions and to share our gifts equitably. Contrast this image with the image that you will see on the third page of the Order of Service, just where the word sermon is printed. This image is a painting based on Julian of Norwich's Revelations of Divine Love, and particularly on her vision of the hazelnut. I'm sure many of you will be familiar with that vision. But in case you are not, Mother Julian had these incredible visions, showings, she called them, of God's love. And in this one, she said she opened her hands and she saw in her hands a little thing the size of a hazelnut, and it was as round as any ball. And in her mind, she wondered what it could be, and the answer came to her in her vision. It is everything that is made. And she wondered and marvelled how this could continue to exist, because it was so small. She wondered if it might suddenly disappear because of its smallness. And the answer came to her again. It exists, and it will continue to exist, because God loves it, and so exists everything that is. Through the love of God. I chose to pair this image from Mother Julian with the image of Mammon because I think in conversation they can show us a different way of ordering our minds, our hearts, our lives that perhaps help us to avoid some of the traps of Mammon. Mother Julian's hands and her round thing the size of a hazelnut and that image, they show us what it looks like when we put our ultimate trust in the one who really can sustain us. The hands are God's hands. The hazelnut, the little round thing, round as any ball, the size of a hazelnut, is everything that has ever been made. Everything fits neatly into the palm of God's hand, held there securely, never to be dropped, never to be squashed or broken. This image shows us that there is room in God for everyone. If the thing the size of a hazelnut is everything that is ever made, there is room to spare. This is an image of an economy of abundance, not an economy of scarcity. In an economy of abundance, there is no need for the competitiveness that assumes a zero-sum game. There is no need for an outlook that assumes that there must be winners and there must be losers, and we have to make sure that we are the winners. There is no need for that with a pair of hands that is big enough to encompass the universe and everything in it. When my children were little, they delighted in asking me about the omnipresence of God. I know this sounds like a strange thing for children to say, but the way they said it was very like what children say. They would say to me, if God is everywhere, is God in this dirty old coffee cup? Is God in the mud on the bottom of my trainers? And I got so exasperated with this in the end that I said, actually, it's not that God is in those things. It is that those things are in God. If we start with the world as our ultimate context, then we somehow have to put God into the world. Whereas if we start with God as the ultimate context, the hands of God as the ultimate context, we can put everything in the universe into those hands. And suddenly, several things happen. It means not only that there is room for everything, there is no zero-sum game, there is no need for competition, there is abundance, not only those things, but it also means that the difficult, tempting things, the things that we might get wrong, that we might get skewed, are also within the safe hands of God. So by taking Mammon out of being the ultimate context and placing it as one thing within the ultimate context of God, we find that the way we relate to money changes. Money becomes something that is within God's purview. Not something that we have to be afraid of or ashamed of, but something that we are called to deal with generously and accountably and with holiness. It becomes something that is part of our relationship with God, as all things are, every aspect of our being and our communal life is part of and held by our ultimate relationship with God. So our money becomes something which is in a place of generosity and accountability. Suddenly, it doesn't dominate everything, it doesn't control everything, but rather it's held as one thing within the amazing civilization, culture, nature, universe that is made. It is part of Mother Julian's everything that is held within the hands of God. And this means that the way we treat money can reflect the fact that money is also held in God's hands. Money belongs to God, just as we do, just as the world does, which is why we concern ourselves with sustainability, just as one another do, which is why we concern ourselves with one another's well-being. So when we seek first the kingdom, it means we are mentally and emotionally and spiritually placing ourselves first into the hands of God. And in those hands, we will indeed find all these things as well. We will indeed find out what it means to be well fed, to be nourished in every single respect. We will find out what it means to live well economically. Because all of those things are also held by God. But we will also find that when we place ourselves absolutely into God's hands, it will change our relationship with everything else that is also in God's hands. Change it for the better. When we live in the kingdom, when we place ourselves in God's hands, a lot of things start to make sense. And we will see that there are wrong ways, often, that the world tries to entice us to live together. But if we start to see ourselves and everything else within God's hands, things start to make sense in a different way. Money is something that we, I think probably all of us, I know I am, are always going to be in danger of grasping after, out of a sense of security or fear. But the trouble is that when you grasp at something a lot, it starts to grasp back. And nobody wants to end up with money, with mammon, as their ultimate master, because we see what that looks like, both for ourselves and for our relationships within the world. But if we learn to try and grasp the kingdom, we'll find that when we seek the kingdom, when we yearn for the kingdom, when we seek the kingdom with all our hearts, we will find that when the kingdom grasps us back, it looks like that safe, loving pair of hands. A place in which we can know ourselves to be loved, to be safe, to be fully who we are meant to be. And a place in which we can start to learn the kinds of right relationship that mean the rich don't get richer and the poor poorer. That mean that creation isn't sidelined for economic gain. That the vulnerable are placed first. We know the vulnerable are first in the kingdom of God. This is what it looks like when we see, as Mother Julian does, that we and all the universe are held gently, strongly within the loving hands of God. And it's that that makes everything else possible. Amen.